This is Discover Your Past, your podcast about the history of Quebec's eastern townships, its peoples, politics, and economy. My name is Jacqueline Collar, and today we will talk about United Canada. During the turbulent years marked by rebellion within the colony, the politics of the eastern townships shifted. The British Party was the only party present in the region. The reformist group lost its press, and its leader and several members were forced to flee to the United States in exile. After the Patriot Rebellion's defeat, Lord Durham proposed two solutions. First, uniting the two colonies to accelerate the assimilation of Francophones, and second, to establishing a responsible government to meet reformist demands. Only the first of these proposals would be adopted. This marked the advent of the United Canada. The Constitution allowed for the union of Upper and Lower Canada in such a way that French Canadians became a minority community. The eastern part of the territory, which is Quebec, remained mostly French-speaking, whereas the western part, such as Ontario, maintained its Anglophone majority. These two sections of the territory, Eastern and Western Canada, boasted the same number of elected officials in the House of Assembly. However, French Canadians were present in far greater numbers. The Act of Union also stipulated that English would become the country's only official language. This was very favorable to the English-speaking community in the Eastern Townships, who suddenly found itself in a position of political majority. A new regional county also appeared along with this constitution, the city of Sherbrooke. This county included the towns of Sherbrooke and Lennoxville. As a result, Sherbrooke held the same political weight as Montreal, Quebec City, or Trois-Rivières. With this new constitution, elected officials in the eastern townships could pass laws affecting local development like railways and banks with greater ease. In the 1841 elections, each county was entitled to one member of parliament. The electoral map was redrawn in such a way as to favor the Tories. Moreover, polling stations were placed in villages with an Anglophone majority. These elections turned violent. Two political parties were represented: the Conservative Party, made up of members of the British Party, and the Liberal Party, made up of an alliance of reformists. Residents of the town of Sherbrooke elected Edward Halley, who, along with English-speaking deputies from Montreal, would form an alliance with the Conservative Party. In the region, only Stanstead County elected a reformist deputy, Marcus Child. The responsible government. Reformists in Western and in Eastern Canada found common ground in the goal of establishing a responsible government. According to this reform, members of the Executive Council would be named from the party holding the majority at the House of Assembly and would be responsible for their administration. If they lost the confidence of the House, members of the Executive would be obliged to resign. Therefore, with the advent of a responsible government, decisions would be made by a Council of Ministers called the Executive Council. The ministers would be officials elected by the population and not chosen by the governor. The British Party opposed its proposal, but did not neglect to defend the economic interests of the eastern townships, particularly with regards to industrial projects and to the development of railroads. The reformists of the United Canadas, on the other hand, formed an alliance to secure ministerial accountability. This explains why the English-speaking electorate of the eastern townships found itself divided anew between reformist and conservative ideas during the 1848 elections. At this time, the party represented by the British Tories dwindled down to 5 MPs, 4 of whom were the eastern townships. They would find themselves in the opposition as a minority within the House of Assembly.
In 1848,
a reformist alliance between Eastern Canadian Louis Hippolyte Lafontaine and Western Canadian Robert Baldwin would lead to a greater ministerial accountability.
The Annexationist Movement. In 1849, Baldwin Lafontaine's reformist government passed the Rebellion Losses Bill that would compensate individuals for the losses incurred in Lower Canada during the rebellions. This led to a crisis within the population of the United Canadas. Anglophones were opposed to this bill, which, in their view, seemed to favor those who had been rebels. Furthermore, certain Tories were outraged by the advent of responsible government, an event that resulted in the loss of power for this group,
and by the annulment of Great Britain's favorable tariffs for Canadian wheat. A movement began to form in Montreal, aiming to separate Canada from Great Britain by annexing the country to the United States.
This movement, which would become known as the Annexationist Movement, was quite popular in the eastern townships. A propaganda campaign in favor of annexation with the United States was organized in the region. Even British deputy Alexander Galt, who was nonetheless considered to be moderate, was sympathetic to the idea.
Annexationist candidate John S. Sanborn, originally from the United States, was re-elected in Sherbrooke County in 1851, and this marked a new resurgence of reformist ideas in the region.
Join us next time when we talk about the Canadian Confederation.
Discover Your Past is produced by the Eastern Townships Resource Center and Toast Radio, the student radio station at Bishop's University. The podcast has been made possible through funding from the Quebec government's Secretariat for Relations with English-Speaking Quebecers.